composers and mods. I can't really explain that. But one thing I can say, praise the Lord, I never experienced this thing. My family members don't know anything about voodoo. What a blessing it is. You may not understand it the way I feel it, but I know it's a huge, a wonderful thing for us. Because growing up in that culture, that voodoo culture, and you don't know it, what a blessing. In Haiti, we have three different obstacles to Christianity. The first one is voodoo. Voodoo permeates all aspects in our society. For instance, if an unbeliever is building a business or a school, anything, they will throw voodoo. Voodoo is witchcraft, magic. They will throw voodoo at it just to draw people or to protect themselves from other people or who are practicing the same thing. And they can use voodoo to curse other people and to change their life completely. Sometimes you see some crazy people on the street, they just use voodoo to make them that way. They use demon to work in the lives of these people. It's real. Most of the time, when I talk to some American friends, they can't believe it. They say, well, I mean, we understand, Brother Jimmy, what you're saying, but I don't believe that is true. And they misunderstand it. It is biblical. It is in the Bible, right here in your Bible. For instance, let me take you to Egypt. Now you are inside Pharaoh's palace. You see Moses with a stick in his hand. God told Moses to throw that stick on the ground. What happened to that stick? It became a snake. So what the Pharaohs had magicians, right? Mm-hmm. Voodoo priest people, magicians. That's what they were. So they had some sticks as well. What happened to the sticks? They also became snakes. This is voodoo, witchcraft. I just want to take these examples to show you it is real. This is the devil in action. That's the way it is. But what happened to Moses' serpents, snakes? He swallowed all of them. Just to show that God's power is stronger. No one can attack God's people. Even if you attack them, you're going to fail. So the voodoo, he's huge in Haiti. So the country is permeated by voodoo. It is said of a politician, of Haitian politician, to be the president of Haiti, you have to see a priest, voodoo priest, to give you a voodoo bath so that you can be the president of the country. And most of these presidents have been through these things. And there is, you saw the mud, you know, where the person was, is that voodoo possessed, demon possessed. There was a prime minister who went there in this place to be bathed by a voodoo priest. I mean, this guy, they have high level education. They've been to Harvard, Sorbonne in Paris, Canada. They have high level education. But you can't believe it. You have that much education. You went before a man who sometimes doesn't know how to read and to do all this thing to you. What happens? They are blind spiritually. So voodoo is huge in this country. It is an obstacle for Christianity. Also, we have Catholicism. When people say they are Catholic, knowing that they are voodoo, they are practicing voodoo at the same time. So Catholicism and voodoo, it is a syncretism. So the one who is practicing voodoo is a Catholic. Or when someone says, well, I'm a Catholic, knowing that he's practicing the same thing. So there is no difference at all. And the third one is prosperity gospel. I believe prosperity gospel is the greatest obstacle and the greatest challenge to Christianity. What happened, these people present a false Jesus. They present a Jesus that can give you money, a Jesus that can give you a visa. You know, their country is poor. When you tell them, if you have a visa, you can go to Canada, France, United States. So they will run to you, and so that they might have that visa. You know, they are duped. They preach a Jesus that can give people husband, that can give you a wife, and that can give you money. That's the Jesus, a Jesus that can heal you, that can give you a miracle. Of course, we understand Jesus Christ is powerful. He can do all these things. But that's not the way the Bible presents Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So they don't preach salvation in Christ. They don't talk about hell. They don't talk about heaven. They don't use. I mean, they can use these terminologies with another connotation, but not how the Bible defined this connotation. So this is the greatest obstacle in our country. So when you want to reach someone with biblical gospel, especially educated people and rich people, they just say, you want to reach me with the gospel? So you want me to be in that group too? That's the way they think, because they've seen what's going on in with gospel prosperity. And prosperity gospel has the greatest media in Haiti, TV all over in the country, radio station. So they reach everybody. You know what's going on in this thing. So I believe that God has a plan, a saving plan for Haiti. And this saving plan is not found in prosperity preaching gospel. The saving plan is found in the Word of God. I would invite you to turn open your Bible with me in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And at the end of this presentation, if you have any question, you can ask. We start from verse 9 to 14. Amen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So in this verse, I want to show you the biblical salvation, the saving salvation that God gives to people. And this is the salvation the church must preach to reach people. It's not telling people you're going to be rich if you come to Jesus, or you're going to have a husband, No, God never says that I'm going to give you a husband if you come to me. I'm going to give you... No, God never says that.
Right, that's right.
But God is talking about salvation. Spiritual salvation to anyone. So in this passage, I want you to see three verbs. The first one is confess. And the second one is believe. And the third one is call upon. So the biblical salvation is based on these things. The Bible says the first thing to do, you must confess.
Yes, sir.
What do you confess then? We will see that. When you confess, you just say it as it is. That's the way it is. Like you say, amen. But not only that, you confess it, but also you believe what you confess.
Amen.
You believe what you confess. It's not just a simple belief or a conformity. You just go to church to please someone, but you know, deep down, you don't believe in Christ. But the saving faith, you rely on Christ no matter what happens. And the next verb is to call upon. But now I want you to see the object of these verbs. Confess who? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says you need to confess another name in order to be saved. You need to confess Jesus Christ. You confess Him that He's Lord. He's the Savior. That He's the exclusive way to heaven. But you can confess it. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know it. Intellectual knowledge. But it means anything to you. For instance, the devil knows that God exists. This is the intellect. Does that mean the devil is saved? No. So you can know that Jesus Christ, okay, is the Savior. I know it is the Savior. I confess it. But now, do you believe in that Jesus Christ for your salvation, to rescue you? Do you give everything, your heart to Him, because you believe that person is the Son of God, is the only Savior? So, the biblical salvation implies confession of your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yeah.
But not only that, you believe. Many examples we can use to explain that belief, but we can't really fully explain it with my examples. We often say when you take a plane, you're on board. If you knew that plane was going to crash 2 seconds after you take off, you wouldn't go. You couldn't. But what happens? You put your belief, your trust in it. Say, okay, I believe it's gonna be okay. This is what you do. You may not pay attention to that. This is what you say. I believe it's gonna be okay. It's the same thing with Christ. You place all your faith in Christ. No matter what happens, believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. This is biblical salvation. So biblical salvation is Christocentric, Christ-centered. It's not human-centered. Everything is on Christ. Christ. You see this verse? If we confess with our mouth, who? The Lord Jesus Christ. If we believe that God raised Him, Jesus Christ. So everything is right here on Christ. This circle on Christ. So the object of these verbs is Christ. You have to call, I mean, you have to confess that Christ is the Savior. Also, you confess that He is the Lord who died for sin and raised for sin. This is the object. Now, let us see the subject of these verbs. Paul was talking, he said, that if thou shalt confess, and he said, whosoever. This shows the universality or the availability of salvation to everyone in Christ. It doesn't mean that everyone will be saved, because we know not everyone is saved. But here, Paul wants to tell us that anyone, because everyone is a sinner, salvation is here in Christ for anyone who confesses Him, anyone who believes in Him. So the subject of this verb is for the Haitian people, the American people, the Russian people, French people, the whole world, humankind. Why? Because we are in the same basket. What kind of basket? A sinful basket. We are crossed by the same poison. Sin. So that is why Paul says, whosoever, anyone in this world, confess Jesus Christ, believes in Christ. That's the subject. And anyone call upon that name, many things can happen. So now, let us see the result of confessing Jesus Christ, the result of believing in Jesus Christ, and the result of calling upon the name of Jesus Christ. Go back to the same verse. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, what is the result? What will happen? Thou shalt be saved. Look, many people say, well, Jesus Christ, He's not the only way of salvation. They can say that, but the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, if you confess and you believe in Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. So the exclusive way to be saved is Christocentric, in Christ alone. So the result of believing in Christ, of confessing Christ, of calling upon His name, is salvation in Christ. And in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto salvation. Here it's not clear, but this is a result again. Believeth unto righteousness. So no one is righteous. No one can reach God's standards. But why does the Bible call us righteous? We are righteous is because we believe in Jesus Christ. And now the righteousness of Jesus Christ is being imputed in our heart. And God sees us as righteous people because we are in Christ and His righteousness is in us. So when we believe in Christ Jesus, we are righteous. Righteousness comes into our heart. So belief gives righteousness. To be righteous. You know, God cannot see sin. God cannot look over sin. God punishes sin. Because He's a pure, holy, righteous God. So with your sin, you cannot draw near to Him. But how come right now you can draw near to Him? It's because of Jesus Christ. Because of Christ, you draw near to Him. In verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That's the same result of believing in Jesus Christ. He'll be saved. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. This salvation, as I said, is for me, is for you who believe in Jesus Christ. For the Haitian people who are serving the devil, voodoo. And verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the result of calling upon Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. So salvation, what it is, salvation, we don't really use this word except in Christianity, because today that's not the word people really use. But in Christianity, we use it. What is salvation? Salvation means a rescue. You've been rescued, or you were in a difficult situation. Someone rescued you. You see some dogs were about to die. What happened? Someone came and rescued that dog. They give them food. They give them salvation. They rescue them. But when the Bible uses this spiritually, theologically here, is to tell you that humankind is condemned. That humankind is colliding with God's wrath, punishment, hell. And we are on our way to hell. And we cannot rescue ourselves. But God, in his mercy, in his love, sent Jesus Christ to die for us, to rescue us. So Jesus rescued us from our vain way, from our destruction. Now we have salvation in Christ. We are saved. So because you are a sinner, you can't save yourself. But when you call upon that Jesus Christ, the Bible says you are saved in Christ. You are rescued. But to talk about salvation, you have to talk about sin. That people were in sin. Because of sin, we are condemned. And now you can understand why prosperity gospel don't preach about hell, don't preach about biblical salvation, and don't preach about heaven. Why? Because by talking about sin or by talking about salvation, there must be a precedent, which is sin. You have to talk about sin first. Because you are in sin because of your sin, you're going to face God's judgment. But they won't talk about this thing. Why? Because when you talk about sin, you offend people. Amen. You're going to offend people. So if these people want to have a lot of people in the church, a lot, and they miss the message of the Bible. They don't say anything about sin. Nothing. Because by mentioning sin, they will offend the assembly. The next Sunday, they will see only 15 people in the assembly. Because the whole assembly was offended because you're talking about the sins. They don't want to come anymore. This pastor is talking about sin, thinking that he's the only good person in the world, so I'm not good. Well, because you're using the right gospel to talk to them. The gospel will offend people. Right. So prosperity gospel will not preach about this thing. They won't talk about that Jesus Christ died. They will use this terminology, but with another connotation, you know, most of the time. They won't say, well, you are a sinner. You are on your way to hell. Amen. But God sent Jesus Christ to die for you. Just come. You won't hear this thing. But Jesus Christ can give you a husband. Jesus Christ can give you a wife. Jesus Christ can give you money. Just if you give me $50, you're going to have $1,000. This is what they preach. And people believe that is Christianity. This generation believes this is Christianity, but that's not Christianity. So God calls you and I to preach the saving, transforming gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners, for you and I. And he was raised according to the scripture. So Paul said, if Christ was not resurrected, so our belief would be vain. But we believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. This is the pure gospel. But when you go to Haiti, most of this prosperity gospel, they don't preach this thing. But I praise the Lord for giving me that burden to go back to Haiti to preach the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And to confront, maybe through preaching or radio, the false teachers and preachers. Because we, the church, we have to preserve the truth. We have to preach the truth. We have to face false teachers because we are the church. I don't know how I will be doing this, but that's my plan when I go back to Haiti, to expose the biblical gospel of Jesus Christ. But as I said, there's unbelief, there's prosperity gospel won't say anything about this. In fact, about 1 month ago, I was listening to one of these pastors. There was a star, a singer in our society, just like one of these big singers in the United States. When you are a star, your life is exposed. You are just like a president. They know who you are, and wherever you go, people follow you because you are a public figure. So they know this lady, the singer, he's not saved, you know, all kind of immoralities, everything is, I mean, they don't care. That's their lives. So she went to a church, and as soon as she went to the church, they called her to come forward to sing. Can you believe that? To sing to the church. You know, some Christians were frustrated, you know, when they heard this thing. And were not happy, you know. How could you say you are a Christian church and you know this lady doesn't know Christ, and you know her life, and you call her to sing or to bless your people? This guy received a lot of heat from the media and Christian, and he had the chance to go over the radio to defend himself. And he said that God is not angry at anyone, so anyone can come in my church, and I give him a chance to sing to my people. And I was blessed by her singing. Can you believe it? It doesn't make sense to you. It doesn't make sense to me either. I mean, you say God is not angry at sinners? Why does he send people to hell?
That's right.
And just to justify himself, he said, well, the next Sunday, if she comes back again, I'm going to have her to sing. Because God is not, he did not come for, you know, for people who were not sick, you know. He came for people who were sick only. You see, he takes this passage out of context just to look good in front of some people, not all of them. He didn't look good in front of me. Of course, I wouldn't believe what he was saying. Just to tell you, this is what they believe. They want people in the church to make a lot of money, you know. That's the way it is. But let me tell you, I believe that God has a saving plan for the Haitian people to share through other generation, other people, to preach the saving word of God. And that is why I'm planning to go back to Haiti to preach the saving word of God. I was asked to go to France because I speak French, to be a missionary there. And another mission board wanted me to go to a country in Africa because I am interested in Muslim studies. And there was a huge Haitian church in Boston that wanted me to stay in the United States. I've been considering all these opportunities. But you know, God doesn't give me any burden for any of these places. He just gave me a burden to go back to Haiti. I didn't want to go back to Haiti because I said, well, there's a better life in the United States. Why should I go back to Haiti to... Why? Understand, this is human, the flesh, talking. Because when you really understand the essence of ministry, you don't think about the comfort zone. You don't think about a better life. Because you think about those who are dying without Christ every day. So I was praying, asking the Lord to show me what He wants me to do, where He wants me to go. God gives me that burden to go back to Haiti. And that is why I'm planning to go back to Haiti. I'm on deputation to a support before I go back to Haiti. That's my heart. I wanted to share with you today. And I'm the shortest guy in the world, but my talking is the longest, you know. Okay, so if there is any question, I'll try to answer. And if I cannot answer it, I'm not going to embarrass myself. I'm going to tell you, no, I can't. But if you have any question, you can ask.
I heard you say that you speak Creole and French.
Yes.
Is that the languages that are both used in
Haiti? Yes, Haiti has two official languages, French and Creole.
How much difference
Creole is a broken language from French, and some African language, I don't know which one, but African, I don't know, and some Spanish as well, but it is a normal language. There is dictionaries, grammar, you can translate on Google, everything. But most of the time, if we want to express something and we don't have that word in French, in Creole, we go to French language to pick it up, to express ourselves. So it's a more broken or French mixed language. Yes. How? Well, most of them go by foot, and not all of them. There is no public school bus. Either you pay it on your own taxi every day to go to school, or it depends where you live, you go by foot every day. Yeah, that's the way it is. Yeah. Do I answer your question? Right. Thank you. They won't really talk about it. They won't. As I said, voodoo permeates all aspects in our society. Voodoo priests, many of them said that many pastors, in quote, went to them in order to do some magic and some witchcraft to draw people to them. But you know, and most these guys have a business, you know, just to make money. They use the gospel to make money. They have this label, church. But the essence of church does not exist in this. They're going to sing Christian song as well. Just a cover. But the reality is different than what the Bible preaches. A lot of them. So, yeah. Haiti is prone to a hurricane. We are an island. This is an island. Every year, we have more than 3 hurricanes in Haiti. So that's the way it is. Yes. When I go back, I'll go back to this church. This church has a small Bible school. That's where I'll be teaching. I'm going to be working there. And from working there, to move to another place. I have already talked to the pastor. In fact, he wants me to come to start a network with people who are interested in ministry, and then to move on to go to other places to start Bible-believing churches. Yes. I think I answer all the questions. So I think that's it. Thank you so much.
Amen. That was good.
Got me on, boys? Thank you very much. Amen. Well, you know, it doesn't matter whether we're in Haiti or America, the gospel still needs to be preached. And, you know, we look at America and we think we're a very high society, but voodoo is just as prevalent here as it is over there. My relatives were deeply involved in voodoo and witchcraft, and I saw it just like everything else. He's talking about throwing. I saw that growing up. I understood it. All the stuff that you saw up there, putting the little stuff on the ground, I saw it as a child. It's just as real here. You may not have had an exposure to it, but I assure you it's just as real here in America as it is there in Haiti. Maybe it's a little bit more prevalent there and widely accepted. It's more covert here, but it is nonetheless here. And we need to pray for not just Brother Jimmy as he goes back. The prosperity gospel definitely going to be an obstacle. But the church situation with Catholicism mixed with Buddhism is definitely going to be an obstacle. And then you've got the cults that are there. And anybody that knows anything about the cults, they're going to try to make their way in there. But I like what he said about the gospel is superior and surpasses any and everything. And we just give out the gospel, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We don't attack voodooism. We attack sin, and then Jesus Christ does the rest. Amen. The minute you try to attack voodoo, you're in a losing battle already. Amen. But you give out the gospel, and you give Jesus. Jesus will break all barriers, and he will tackle the sin. And then he deals with the sinner and pulls them out and sends them back. And what a blessing it is. I enjoyed Jimmy's testimony. God dealt with him. Amen. Dealt with me much the same way. But I do want to do this, too. I want to make sure we pray for Jimmy and for Haiti. You know, I do pray that we'll be in a position we can take him on in the future. Tasha, why don't you come up to the piano here just for a minute? Have her play a hymn of invitation. He's got cards out there. He's got a pamphlet out there that details what's going on in Haiti. Please get that, read it, see the state of the people there. They do average hurricanes every year. They've been in the news repeatedly. And not just the natural disasters, but the spiritual disaster that the country is in. They need intervention from the gospel. One man can make a difference. Moses made a difference in the life of Israel. Joseph made a difference in the life of Israel. King David made a difference in the life of Israel. One man can make a difference. Are more needed? Yes, there are. But one can make a difference. As Miss Natasha plays the hymn of invitation, I want to ask you to join me in praying for this young man as he tries to make his way around the country to raise support, to go back to his country, reach his people, and that God would use him. One man can make a difference. One man can make a huge difference. And he can use this man to impact other lives that can be raised up. And so for the next minute, I want to have Natasha play just a hymn of invitation. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And you pray for Jimmy that God would give him the ability to go, raise the support, and make a difference when he gets back. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again just for Jimmy, his burden. Thank you for saving him, his mom and dad, his grandparents as well, allowing him to be raised in a Christian environment. And Lord, I do pray that if there is one amongst us here, a man, a woman, a boy or girl that is not, Lord, embrace the simplistic gospel of Jesus Christ that was mentioned here tonight, and they have not confessed the Lord Jesus Christ, they have not believed in their heart, they have not called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Lord, I pray for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, they would do so tonight, recognizing that life and death hangs in the balance of Jesus Christ. A person can be born again or they can be eternally lost at the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I do pray that you burden our hearts to continue to give out the simple plan of salvation. Many as received him, the Bible says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Lord, and help us to continue to invite folks to receive Christ as Savior, giving them the gospel, then living the gospel. They know that God loves them and will save them if they would only repent of their sins and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for Jimmy. Give him traveling grace and mercy as he heads up to Colorado and the other places, and eventually as he tries to get back to Haiti by 2019 or 20. I pray that you would help him with his support level and that he could come across those churches that are financially able to help him, and then maybe some churches like Macedonian Christians that don't have much, but they'll give what they have to make a difference in his ministry and his life. We thank you, Lord, that we've had the privilege of hearing him tonight. Help us to partner with him in prayer. We'll thank you and praise you for what you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, Jimmy, I'm going to give you just a few minutes. You can go into the back to your table there. He'll be